Okay, so what I'd like to do today is discuss a point about Hanukkah. And what I want to do is I want to learn with you a piece from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes was the Gera Rebbe. He lived about 1850 till 1905, something like that, you know, in the late 1800s. He wrote prolifically. He has a lot of commentaries both on the Gemara, he has on the Parsha. He was respected by all. He was Hasidic Rebbe. He was respected by all lands of Klal Yisrael.
His name again, please.
He's called the Gera Rebbe. His name was actually Rebbe Yehuda Leib Alter. Was his name.
Where did he live?
He lived in a Gera Hasidic is based in Poland, so I guess.
Oh,
in Poland.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess in the city of Gera. But he was respected by all ends of Judaism, despite the fact that he was Hasidish. But not only Hasidim respected, everyone respected him. So his commentaries are still classic, both in terms of his commentary on the Gemara, in terms of his understanding of the Chumash. It's all well learned, well loved by all. So that's the Sfas Emes. The challenge of his commentary that he has on the Parsha or on the holidays is that the way he writes is very, very terse. It's very condensed. And he's packing a lot into every single line. And when you sit, you can't just read through it at your leisure and say, oh, I understand it. You have to take each line and think about it and kind of unlock what he's saying. So I chose one piece, which, again, it's like that. It's line by line. Each line itself contains worlds of information. And if we take it line by line, we can understand more of what he's trying to describe. So he has a piece on Hanukkah. And then I'll try to read you each line, then we'll explain what each line means. But he brings out a very significant point about Hanukkah and about a general significant point we should all understand in life. So let's begin. So Hanukkah is known, the Gemara says that Hanukkah is meant to be a time of halal and hodav, praise and thanksgiving to God. If you want to say what's the Jewish Thanksgiving, it's Hanukkah. You know, this is the time we're supposed to be showing deep gratitude towards Hashem. Now, the simple understanding is just, it's a local sense of gratitude on the miracle of Hanukkah. Hanukkah was an incredible miracle. The Jews overcame their enemies. We had this miracle of the oil burning for 8 days. And we have to show our gratitude. But we never look at something as just marking one particular event. We always see any concept of a holiday as a much broader concept. So Hanukkah is not just about marking the miracle of Hanukkah. It's about marking the concept of gratitude to Hashem in general. So the Sfas Emes, which is the work written by the Gera Rebbe, as we said, it's called the Sfas Emes. And Sfas Emes says that in truth, the Jewish people are created for the sole purpose of showing thanks to God. And he quotes a verse in Yeshaya. It says, "Am zu yatzarti, I created this nation. Tilasi yisaperu, they shall speak of my praise." So that the creation of the Jewish people was, in essence, that there should be a nation in this world that recognizes God's kindness, God's involvement, and shows their gratitude. That's really the essence of the Jewish people. Now, to expand upon that for 1 second, you know, we call ourselves Jews. That term comes from the word Yehudim. Yehudim is from the name Yehuda, right? Meaning, it's in simple historic terms, the reason we're called Yehudim is because most of us came from the land of Yehuda. In the times of the prophets, we know that the land of Israel was split. There was the 10 tribes took one section, Yehuda and some others took the other section, and ended up with 2 parts of the land of Israel. So the 10 tribes were sent to exile earlier, and the remainder of the Jewish people mostly came from the land of Yehuda, the land of Judah, so we're called Jews. That's the simple historic understanding of it. But there's no coincidences. And the fact that we take on the label as Jews, as Yehudim, that's because the word Yehuda comes from the term praise. When Leah gave birth to Yehuda, why did she name Yehuda Yehuda? She said, "Apam odes Hashem, I will now give thanks to God." And therefore she called his name Yehuda, which is a term of thanks. So basically, Jews are called Yehudim because our role is thanks, thanksgiving. That's our role. Our role is to show gratitude towards Hashem. That's our role as Jews. And our name actually describes that. And the term that we rarely call ourselves these days Hebrews or Israelites, the term which is used is Jews, Yehudim, because and that really speaks to our essence. So the Jew is created to give thanks to God. But then he continues. He says, but the problem is, in Golus, when we're in a state of exile, we can't see God's glory as we should. As it says, and he quotes from the verse in Tehillim and Psalms, "Ech nashir asher Hashem al admas nechar," how can we sing the song of Hashem on strange soil? So there's this concept that even though our role is to give thanks to God, when we're on strange soil, when we're in exile, we can't fully give thanks to God. So the question is why? And that's the famous verse. How can you sing the song of God on, you know, on Aras Bavil? And it says, you know, we were on the rivers of Babylon, we sat there and we cried and we remembered the fact that we were sent out of Israel. And we said, how can we sing God's praises on this strange land? So the point this Fas Emes is making is the following. The way I would describe it, at least. We often say in davening, if you look through different prayers we mention, we often speak about how we are incapable of thanking God properly. Now, we fall short. And that's described really in two ways. You can fall short thanking God, I think, for one of two reasons.
Like in the Nishmas, so,
yes, thank you, Tzvi. Exactly, in Nishmas. That's exactly what I was thinking about. Thank you, Tzvi. In Nishmas, so on Shabbos morning, we have the special prayer of Nishmas. And in Nishmas describes how we fall short in praising God. And how does it describe it? It describes it in two ways. It says, Ilufinu mali shira kayam. If our mouths were as full of song as the sea, and our tongue as full of joyous song as the waves, and our lips as full of praise as the breadth of the heavens. So that's one section. And it's saying, even so, we couldn't thank God appropriately. Meaning, we lack the capability. We don't have enough words in our mouth. We don't have enough energy to praise God to the extent that He deserves. That's one point. Because God does for us infinite kindness, and we as humans cannot do things that are infinite. Now, we don't have the right vocabulary, we don't have the energy, we don't have the time, we just can't do it. So that's one way we fall short in praising God. But the other way, it continues, if our eyes were as brilliant as the sun and the moon, and our hands as outspread as eagles, and our feet as swift as hinds, as like a deer or gazelles, we still cannot thank you sufficiently. So what's this describing? It's saying that had our eyes been able to see brilliantly, or had we been very, very quick, how does that involve in praising God? And we don't praise God by running around. We don't praise God by looking. What does that mean? So the other understanding is that sometimes you fall short in praising God, not because you lack the words, because you don't see the kindness around you. I mean, we fall short in actually recognizing God's kindness to us. So you look around the world, and even if you have the best eyesight, you're still going to miss some of God's great kindness He does towards us. Even if you're very, very quick and can get anywhere you want to go really fast, you're still not going to be able to see it all. And the point being, we fall short in praising God in one of two ways. Again, either because we lack the words, we lack the capability physically, or because we lack the perception. It's the words or the perception. So when he says that when the Jews are on strange soil, when we're in a state of exile, we can't praise God. So the issue there is because we lack perception. Now, when we're in our ideal state, we're in the land of Israel with the Beis Hamikdash, living as we should. So we have a much clearer perception of God's kindness, of God's interaction with the world, of God, the way that God provides for us, the way that God cares for us. It's much clearer, much more clear to us in that way. But when we're in a state of exile, there's confusion, there's darkness. There's things which block our perception, our understanding. And therefore, when that happens, we can't perceive God fully. That's the issue. So therefore, we end up with this inability to praise God, not because we don't have the words, because we don't see God's kindness. That's what happens in a state of exile. So let's just build up the pieces so far. Piece number one is that we're here to praise God and give thanks. That's what we're here for. That's what a Jew is all about. Number two is that being that we are in a state of exile, we fall short because we can't perceive God in the fullest extent that we should be able to. No, we don't have the ability right now to see God's ways in a clear way. So he continues and says, during Chanukah, he uses the term misnotzei tzaros. This light shines from the Beis Hamikdash, from the temple itself, and that allows us, therefore, to be involved in praise and thanksgiving of Hallel and Hodah, because the lights of Chanukah, they are lights of the menorah and the Beis Hamikdash itself, which is a very, very, very powerful phrase. What it's describing is the following. We understand that, as we mentioned before, in the Beis Hamikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews are living in the ideal state, so then we have a clarity on God's interaction in the world. We have a clarity on life. And that's lost to us nowadays. But there's times of the year where you get a sort of like a glimpse into the world that was. You get a glimpse into the light, you know, of the Beis Hamikdash itself. And one of those times is Chanukah. When you light the menorah in your own home, what you're actually doing is you're actually extending the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash into your life right now, 2,000 years later, in America, in a state of exile. That's what you're able to do. I mean, the clarity that was there during the Beis Hamikdash itself. The menorah illuminates. It's light. It illuminates for us, as we say. It gives us the right perspective, the right take on the world. And in the Beis Hamikdash, it gave a sense of clarity. So nowadays as well, even though we don't have the benefit of a Beis Hamikdash, and we're living in a state of exile, on Chanukah you can light your menorah, and it actually should illuminate for you with that same clarity and perception that we had back then. That's the beauty of the menorah on Chanukah. That's what it's able to do. And he says further, it says that because the Yavanim, the Greeks, they wanted to darken our perception. They came in to make us forget Torah, and even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they attempted this. Chanukah is a very unique festival. It's a very unique exile. We call Chanukah, we call it the Greek exile. That's a funny thing, because we were sitting there in Israel with a Beis Hamikdash. The temple was standing at the time, and we called it a state of exile. That's what it was referred to. Which for us is an important understanding. The exile is not necessarily a physical location. It's a state of being. It's a state of mind, as it were. Even though you could be standing there in the land of Israel in front of the temple and still be called in exile if your mind is not in the right place. I think that's important thinking about as is. But the Greeks tried to bring in this darkness and confusion of exile into the land of Israel itself. So we should have been in a state of light and clarity, and they tried to put us into a state of confusion despite the fact we were sitting there in the light. That's what the Greeks did to us. So how do we counter that? The victory of Chanukah, we do the exact opposite. What we do is we take the light of the Beis Hamikdash and bring it into the darkness of exile. They tried to take darkness and put it into the state of light. So we take the light and we bring it into the darkness. That's what we do on Chanukah. So we're actually able to do an amazing thing. We're able to take a vessel of the Beis Hamikdash and not just replicate it in our homes, but bring the same exact spiritual illumination which it offered 2,000 years ago in the Holy Temple, and bring it into the darkness of exile in our own homes, you know, here in 2019. We have that ability in Chanukah. And even though the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, we get to actually taste a little bit of that light. So Chanukah, I mean, we'll explain more, but Chanukah is a time where for Hallel and Hodah, for praising and thanksgiving of God, because that actually, Chanukah is a time where we can actually achieve the full perception we're supposed to have of God's kindness in the world. I'll add in, he mentions it later, these things don't happen automatically. I mean, when we ever talk about how a certain time of year has potential for an area of growth, has potential for a person to be inspired spiritually, it only happens if you make an attempt to actually tap into it. I mean, nothing's automatic. So if I tell you Chanukah is a time where we should have a sense of clarity, the answer is, well, we have to sit here and say, well, I don't have any clarity. I'm sitting here and it's Chanukah and I don't feel the clarity. The answer is you have to put a little effort into it. But it should come to you easier on Chanukah than it will next week. Because Chanukah is a time where the air of Chanukah, as it were, the spiritual energy which is in the air for us right now, is available for us to tap into it and should bring us that clarity. So the confusion which usually is there in a state of exile, in the darkness that we're in right now, 2,000 years after the destruction of the temple, that confusion in Chanukah we could sort of break through and reach a clarity that was only reserved for temple times if we try. That's the Svasemis' point. So he says, during this time of year, the Yechol Miyam Elu, he says, during these days, you can find the light of sanctity and purity of the Beis Hamikdash, not only in the Beis Hamikdash, but you can find it everywhere. And that's our goal. And to go back for a second, so what did the Greeks try to do? Chanukah is the fight against Yavan, the fight against Greece. And we've discussed this in the past, many times before, about exactly what was their approach. But the rabbis refer to what the Greeks did as darkness. They put us into darkness. Because they tried to limit our vision. And in simple terms, you know, our vision is a very broad, sweep vision. We see that the God encompasses the world. This world is just one facet of a much greater being. You know, there's a world beyond this world. We have this world, we have Olam Haba, there's a world to come. There's a spiritual realm, there's a physical realm. That's the Jewish viewpoint, that's the Torah viewpoint. The Greeks wanted to say, no, the world is limited to what's in front of your eyes. It's what's inside the bubble of the physical universe. And the physical universe is very big, but it's still limited. The spiritual world is unlimited. And they wanted to make us not see the spiritual and just focus on the physical. So it was a state of darkness. Don't look at God's intervention in your life. Don't notice any of the kindness and chesed of Hashem. That we mentioned last week how they made us write down that you have no portion in the God of Israel. There's no portion in God. God has nothing to do with you. There's no the God in this world, forget about it. That's they brought this darkness into us, even when the temple was standing. So we take a mitzvah of Chanukah, we light the menorah, and we try to bring light into a world of darkness. And that's what I point out every single year. The mitzvah of the menorah is that we do it at nighttime in the darkness, in the cold of winter when you have the darkest days, and it's lit out towards the street because you're trying to bring that light to the world. You're trying to bring illumination into a world of darkness, into a world of confusion, into a world of exile. We can be inspired very much during Chanukah to these ideas, you know, if we put in that attempt. So that's a point he makes, a very important point. He continues further, and he says that a very interesting point as well. It's a little more of a side point. But Chanukah is a rabbinic festival in its origin. It's not in the Torah, it's totally rabbinic. So he comments on the fact, when the Gemara discusses them establishing Chanukah, the Gemara uses the terms in Hebrew, kevaum v'asaum. They established Chanukah, and they made Chanukah. So there was a repetitive language. Chanukah was established, and Chanukah was made. So why did the rabbis in the Gemara use these two terms to discuss the establishment of Chanukah? So the Sfasema says that you have to understand, when the rabbis make a holiday, it's not just that we down here on earth celebrate Chanukah, but it actually establishes a holiday up in the heavens as well. Meaning, once the rabbis said down here on earth, there's going to be a holiday called Chanukah, up in the heavens, God said, okay, up here in the heavens, there's going to be Chanukah too. Because the rabbis have the ability their decrees extend not just into this world, but also into the spiritual realms. So it says this double language, kevaum, they established it, and they made it, meaning they were able to establish it as a holiday in this world, and establish the holiday in the higher worlds. And that allows this spiritual energy to come into the world. If it was just let's just take another example. We have July 4th, the American calendar. And that's meant to remember the independence of America from Great Britain, from England. So there's no spiritual energy that comes into the world during that time. It's a holiday established, I guess, by Congress, and we remember a battle, we remember a victory, possibly miraculous, if you want to say it, even if it's a small army, a big army, however you want to describe it. But it's something which it just takes on. It's a day to remember something which occurred.
But we don't have an establishment for Entebbe Day at the same time.
Right. Because we don't have the authority. We don't have any based in nowadays with authority to establish like that. Right. I mean, there could be modern day events that may warrant such a thing. We don't have a body of sages to do so to establish it. So something like July 4th, for instance, you want to talk about modern Israeli independence, anything you want to say should be is marking a great event in this world. It's merely in this world, and there's Yom Yerushalayim. There's nothing about it that becomes a holiday in the spiritual realms. There's no spiritual energy that comes through the world in those days because the ones who established didn't have the authority to make it a holiday in the spiritual realm. Just one second. But when it comes to the Chanukah or Purim, which are two examples of rabbinic holidays, the sages established they were able to actually create it as a holiday in the spiritual realms. So therefore, there's spiritual energy and light that comes to the world in those days, so it's more than just remembering the miracle of Chanukah against the Greeks. It's about, there's a whole spiritual element of light that enters the world, which allows us to be inspired and grow through it. It's an important idea to think about. It's an amazing idea. That's the establishment of a mitzvah and the establishment of a rabbinic holiday.
I thought the Maccabees established a holiday when they went, I think it's in the Book of Maccabees, which is kind of interesting. It's not really in the Jewish canon, the Book of Maccabees. So when the rabbis are talking in the Gemara, what are they referring back to?
The Book of Maccabees, as you said, is not in the canon. It's not considered any sort of holy work. It's a historical work, the way we regard the Book of Maccabees. We look at the way it's described in the Gemara, because that's in terms of halacha, that's what matters, that description. And the Gemara, you're talking about the Beis Din of the time took on Chanukah as a holiday. So it says when the Chashmonaim, when the Maccabees went in and they experienced the miracle, so at that point a holiday was established. It actually says a year later they established the holiday, it says, the following year.
Well, but they experienced the miracle of the light, right?
Yeah.
And they also carried out the miracle of the battle.
Correct.
Of being
right,
victorious with a small group of the impure, the pure over the impure, and
right,
the few over the many.
Right.
Okay, but that was 165. About 165 before the Common Era, right?
Right.
Are you saying the Beis Din at that time?
Yeah, Beis Din at that time, correct.
At that time. Okay.
Yeah, that was during the Second Temple period. We still had a Sanhedrin which sat during those times, and they had the authority to create holidays in this manner. So the Book of Maccabees, it's important to understand that. Book of Maccabees is not part of Tanakh, it's not part of Midrash, not part of anything. We don't give it any sanctity.
That's why I'm hoping.
We can look at it as a, yeah.
It's interesting that it's in the Gemara, though. That's kind of interesting. It's not sanctity, but we're talking about establishing it as a holiday. You
know? Right, because whatever the Gemara gives us, we say that was deemed by the sages as being sacred and holy.
Right, right.
But the Book of Maccabees itself might describe some of the story, but we don't look at anything in there as authoritative or holy until the Gemara actually picks up on something and tells us to do it. So that's interesting, this concept in general, how the rabbis have that ability. When something is rabbinic in origin, we don't say, oh, so therefore it's just of our world. It becomes of the spiritual realm as well. The Sfas continues with another very interesting point. Now, if we were to think about it, let me put this in other words. If we were to think about it, we talk about being a state of confusion or darkness. And we were speaking before about, now what causes us to not be able to have a clarity on God's kindness in our lives? And we can really break it down into two different points, broad points, but two different points. One point is that, you know, from within ourselves, there are things which hold us back from seeing. And then also from the outside, there's things that block our vision. For example, let's say somebody from within is very angry or very arrogant. So your perspective on life changes based on that. You know, you're not able to see things clearly when you're full of anger. We experience that in our lives. You get angry, you don't see things in a rational way. So you can have a blockage from seeing the truth, from seeing kindness, from seeing good around you. That's from the inside. There's a concept beyond that. You know, it says in the prophets that our sins create our mavdil. They create a barrier between us and God. So there's a clarity of God out there, but because of the way that we act, we can have this blockage, which doesn't let us see. So our own personal, you know, bad character, our own personal arrogance, our own personal traits, or just, you know, the buildup of spiritual impurity in a person can block them from seeing truth. That's on the inside. On the outside, there is sometimes, you know, corruption, external influences, or just God sometimes hides himself. You know, we have a concept of Hester Panim, that God will hide himself at times, and therefore you don't perceive God, you don't see God. That's an external blockage. So internal blockages, external blockages. The Sfas points out that the mitzvah of Chanukah is a candle. A candle has two functions. A candle gives light, and a candle burns. Right? He says it's Meir, it gives light, so Rif, and it burns. So how are we to take that metaphor for ourselves, that it gives light and it burns? So the burning is to burn away all the bad, right? There's a lot of bad within us, within the world, and the fire of a candle can burn away, it can eat away and burn away the bad. So if in ourselves we have, you know, anger, we have arrogance, we have impurity, the fire of Chanukah can help burn that away and help us have clarity from within, because a candle burns. You also have the idea that a candle gives light. That means it's illuminating the good around us. You're able to look around and see good based on the light of the candle. So the Chanukah candle is supposed to help us perceive the good which is out there and also burn away the bad from within ourselves. And if you could do that, again, you're brought to clarity because the things that cause us not to see things clearly are moved away. You know, when you're in a room, you turn on the light, things are clear. And when you're able to burn away bad, then it takes away all the bad. So if you do those two things, then you have clarity, there's no corruption, there's no arrogance, and then everything gets clear in life. So that's a metaphor of the Chanukah candle. Sfas continues and says, this is actually one understanding, at least metaphorically, of the famous dispute of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, what's the right way to light Chanukah candles? Very famous dispute. Beis Hillel says, you start on day one with one candle, as we do, and add a candle each night. And that's that. And that's the halacha. Beis Shammai says, no, you start with eight on the first night, and then you take one away each night. And on the last night, according to Beis Shammai, you're lighting one candle, according to Beis Hillel, you're lighting eight candles. So do you increase each night or decrease each night? That's a dispute in the Gemara. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, so we increase one each night. So Sfas Emes says, and in terms of this metaphor, it's the same concept. The idea of adding each night is that I'm trying to bring more light into my life. I'm trying to illuminate for myself greater light each and every day so I can see things more clearly. Diminishing each day is saying I'm trying to burn away all the bad. So I start off a lot of bad on day one, and by the time day eight comes, I've burnt all the bad away and only left one candle because I don't need to burn away as much by day eight because I burnt away so much evil. So this dispute metaphorically can be seen as the candle giving light and the candle burning away the bad. Those are two concepts. he concludes with the final point. He says that's why the Gemara says there's two things you do in Chanukah in terms of praising God. One's called Hallel, one's called Hodah. Hallel we usually call praise, Hodah we usually call gratitude. So how do we understand praise and gratitude? So I would explain the following way. Let's think about Hodah for a second. What's gratitude mean? So gratitude means that you did something for me, and I appreciate it. Which means there was something which I fell short in, I couldn't do, and you picked up the slack and did it for me. So I show you gratitude. So Hodah is the ability to recognize the need for others, that I'm imperfect, I need help from others, and therefore I can show you my gratitude. That's like burning away the bad. That's seeing from within that that you fall short and need some help from the outside. Hallel, praise, is when I notice, I'm not looking at my shortcoming, I'm looking at the good beyond me. So praise is when I'm trying to see the light around me in the world. Gratitude is when I see the lack of light within, you know, my own shortcomings within. And the humility that comes with gratitude and the clarity that comes with praise come together in Chanukah. Gratitude shows I'm humbled and I can actually go to you and say thank you for helping me out. And praise shows that I recognize the good beyond me. That's praise. So Gemara says there's Hallel, there's Hodah. There's the praise, there's seeing the light beyond, and then there's the Hodah, the thanks from burning away the bad within. So this is the piece of the Sfas Emes, and each line kind of stands for itself. But if I were to maybe put it back together now, let's try to recap what we explained. Because sometimes you know, each line stands alone, but you have to see the big picture. So let's go through one more time now and put it all together. The Jew is created to praise God. We're here to give thanks and praise to God. That's what we're here for. That's the essence of a Jew. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash is when we achieve the greatest clarity of seeing around us the good that Hashem does in the world, and therefore we can maximize the praise. Meaning, one of the issues why we can't praise God is because we don't see all the goodness around. So you know, our eyes are darkened. You know, we're limited. But and that is a result of being in exile where Hashem is hidden and things aren't as clear to us, and we have influences from around, and therefore we can't see all the goodness. So we're limited. But our goal as Jews is that naturally we should be praising God. That's who we are. That's what we're made of. That's what we're here for. So during the time of exile, usually we have this struggle. Chanukah is a time where you have the ability to achieve clarity. Why? Because on Chanukah is when we get a glimpse of the menorah. The menorah is the light of the temple itself. The menorah is able to illuminate for us the world around. And therefore we can see with clarity the kindness of God despite we're in the darkness. This is an equal and opposite effect as what the Greeks tried to do. They tried to darken our eyes when we were in front of we were standing there with a temple and they darkened our eyes. So now we sit here in exile and we illuminate because that's the equal and opposite effect of what the Greeks tried to do. So therefore the light of Chanukah is supposed to bring us clarity to counteract the darkness the Greeks tried to bring in. And it's really, I think this is such a beautiful idea. It's really the light of the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash itself shines to us this very day. That same exact light is here today to shine for us. We spoke about, so we put that together again. So therefore, on Chanukah, it's a natural time to show praise and thanksgiving to God because now you actually have the right perception of seeing clarity of God in life. We mentioned how really the confusion comes from two ends, from the inside and from the outside. That's why a candle both gives light and it burns. It gives light to what's outside of you and it burns away the bad from within. And if you can accomplish both the burning away of the bad and illuminating of the good, that brings you to a state of the greatest praise. The clarity which can be brought out in Chanukah, again, it takes a little effort on our end. We have to say, I'm working this week on getting around the confusion of life, noticing God more in my daily routines, trying to notice the kindness of God in life, trying to see God more around me, and then in Chanukah you'll have an ability to excel in those areas beyond the rest of the year. We have to recognize that we are called Jews because we are Yehudim. We give praise to God, and that's our goal. And in life, really one of the greatest things is to always try to recognize God around. It makes you a happier person, a more spiritual, connected person, a more inspired person, because you're always looking for opportunities to praise God. And this is what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is, if you want to know what is the real Thanksgiving, it's Chanukah. Chanukah is the Jewish holiday set aside purely for Hallel v'Hodah, for praise and thanksgiving. And that should be in our minds this week. That's why the mitzvah of Chanukah itself is to give that light. And then the other thing we do is we add into our davening, we add into Al Nisim, which gives thanks to God for the miracles. But that's what we have. That's what Chanukah is all about. And that's the goal. So everyone should have a very bright and illuminated Chanukah and take in the light of the menorah.
Thank you.
He's cool, Sassanis. But what I just told you, each line you could speak about for 10 minutes each. That's the challenge of it, you know.
But of course, the Rebbeim didn't realize that the burning of the candles consumed the oxygen, and they.